Good morning. For those people who don't know me, my name is Matt Scottney. I'm a member here at Slough Baptist Church, and I'm also one of the Sunday Club leaders. And I have a privilege today to start the sermon series for the summer on Jonah. Now, I don't know what you guys know about Jonah before you arrived today and we had the Bible reading, but for me, Jonah brings back very, very fond memories. When I was growing up, there was a wonderful production that we had in school called The Jonah Man Jazz. Think of Joseph and his Technicolor Dreamcoat, only much, much smaller and more based at schools. It was written in 1966, so that gives you an idea of how old it is. And there's a wonderful song in it, and the song has stuck with me for a very long time. And it's when Jonah sank into the sea, he closed his eyes and prayed. And it goes something like this. When Jonah sank into the sea, he closed his eyes and prayed, "Oh Lord, I'm very sorry that your word I've disobeyed. If you will only come and save me, I will do as you command. Instead of treading water, let me tread upon the land. Go down, Jonah, deep in the ocean. Go down, Jonah, deep in the shore." Now, that is what I knew about Jonah. And there's obviously a couple of other things that we know about Jonah. The first one was that Jonah was swallowed by a big fish. And probably the other thing you know from the stories that you read, whether it's from your parents that have been reading you stories, whether it's through stories you've heard elsewhere, is that Jonah ran away from God. So what a person. Not only was he swallowed by a fish, he ran away from God. But what can we learn about it? There is so much more that we can learn from Jonah chapter 1. So we're going to start with the fact that Jonah knew the mind of God. And all we have to do is read that first verse. If we look at, and if you open your Bibles, if you've got them in front of you, we've got Jonah 1. And Jonah 1, verse 1 and 2 says, "The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked the people are." Jonah knew what God wanted him to do. It's not clear from the Bible quite how Jonah knew exactly what he wanted to do. Maybe it was a booming voice from heaven, "Jonah, I have a job for you." Maybe he was sitting there quietly and the voice came to him. Maybe it was an angel of the Lord that arrived in the sense of Mary and Joseph. Maybe it was a burning bush. We don't know. But what it's clear is that Jonah knew the mind of God. And as we progress through today, what we know is that God talks to us today. We too can know the mind of God. We too can know the plans that God has got for us. The thing with Jonah is not only did he know the mind of God, but he didn't like what God has got planned to him. The thing we need to think about here is the fact that God always answers our prayers. God may answer them, yes. God may grant our heart's desires. God will fill our needs. God may answer our prayers, yes, and grant them. But equally, God may answer them no. You could pray for your heart's desire and God could say, "No, I'm not going to do that." Whether it's to have the job that you want, whether it's to go to the university that you want, whether it's for healing, whether it's to go into ministry, God sometimes says no, and we don't know why, and we don't understand it. And God sometimes says maybe. There is a possibility that you can do that. I might do that, but not yet. Now is not the right time to be doing it. Now, this is not the right time. But the one thing that's very, very clear as we go through the Bible and in lots of people's experiences and people within the church, when God answers our prayers, it's very often not what we're expecting. God answers them in a way that we cannot possibly imagine. You can just imagine Jonah having a pray. "Lord, show me what to do." And God says, "Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh." Nineveh? But actually, that's not the first example, and it's not the last. I'm looking at Habakkuk in my Bible studies that I've been doing on a daily basis. And if you look at Habakkuk 2, verses 5 and 6, this is Habakkuk's prayer. Habakkuk is a minor prophet, and he's seeing the destruction in Judea. He's seeing what the people are doing, and he doesn't like it, and he calls out to the Lord, "How long, O Lord, must I call out for your help? But you do not listen. How violence is everywhere. I cry, but you do not come and save." God's response. Oh, that's not supposed to happen. Excuse me one second. There we go. Let's try that again, shall we? Oh, dear, no. That's really gone horribly wrong now. There we go. God's response is, "Look around the nations. Look and be amazed, for I am doing something in your very own day. Something that you will not believe, even if somebody told you about it. I am raising up the Babylonians, a cruel and violent people. They will march across the world and they will conquer other lands." When Habakkuk prayed, "O Lord, come and sort out your people," I can't imagine for one second he considered that that God's answer would be, "I'm going to send the Babylonians to come and destroy the people." We have other examples as well. If we look at Matthew 19, Matthew 19 is about the rich man, and I'll just read it out to you. So it's 16 through 22. The rich man. Someone came to Jesus with this question, "Teacher, what must I do to have eternal life?" "Why ask me what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. But to answer your question, if you want to receive eternal life, keep the commands." "Which ones?" asked the man. And Jesus replied, "You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not falsely testify. Honour your father and mother. Love your neighbour as yourselves." "I've obeyed all these commandments," the young man replied. "What else must I do?" And Jesus told him, "If you want to be perfect, go and sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me." But the young man heard this. He went away sad, for he had many possessions. Oh, rubbish. There we go. The rich man wanted to know what to do to have eternal life. He talks to Jesus about it. He asks Jesus the question, and Jesus says, "Keep the commandments." And you can just imagine how smug he was. "I've done that. I'm sorted. I've kept all of those commandments. No problems at all." And then Jesus tells him to sell all of his possessions and give the money to the poor, and then follow Jesus. The rich man goes away sad because the cost of following Jesus was too high for him. Jonah didn't like what God had planned. Habakkuk was surprised by the response that God gave him. The rich man didn't like the response that Jesus said. I was fortunate enough to go on a men's weekend away with some of the guys from the church, and the person who was running it, Carl Beach, said this in one of his books and in one of the sessions. When he became a Christian, he fell on his knees and said, "Thank you for saving me. I will follow you wherever you want me to go. I will do whatever you want me to do, no matter what." I can just imagine Jonah saying the same thing. I can just imagine Jonah falling to his knees and saying exactly the same prayer. "Lord, I will go anywhere. I will follow you anywhere. I will do what you want me to do." Nineveh, you're having a laugh. Nineveh. But we can laugh. We can think, how silly was that? But how many times have we made that request? "Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. I will follow you, whatever it is." And we react in exactly the same way. Jonah knew the mind of God. Jonah didn't like what God had planned for him. And Jonah decided that he knew best. Jonah got on a boat and he ran away from God. He went in the opposite direction. As John says, you can imagine Nineveh's that way, Jonah went this way. He thought he was going to run away from God. We can laugh at it. Of course we can laugh at it. We can say, how silly. You can't possibly run from God. But how many times do we do exactly the same thing? How many times do we hear that gentle nudge? You shouldn't be doing that. You should be doing this. Help that person over there. I have a very entertaining story as a Sunday school leader, as a Sunday school teacher. I've often told the children about this. At one point in time, we had two services, and I was doing the Sunday school in both services. And I had that moment. God doesn't tap me on the shoulder very often. I don't get an absolute word from God very often. And God, as I rushed down the stairs, running a little late, having not been quite as organised as I needed to be, God tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Oi, sit down and have a pray." I'm like, I can't possibly do that. Do you know how long I've got to get to church? I've got to go. I've got to get organised. And I ignored God. To my shame. I jumped on my bicycle, I cycled here, I rushed around, I got everything ready, I sat in the service, I rushed out of the service, I sat there in Sunday school, and there was not one child that arrived in Sunday school for the morning session, or the first session. It was empty. I had all the time in the world to sit and have a pray. If I'd have done it, I could have listened to God, I could have sorted it there and then. But no, I knew better, I knew what was needed. So I rushed into church. I ended up sitting and praying in Sunday school, waiting for the second lot of guys to come out. But how often do we do exactly what Jonah did? How often do we run in the opposite direction? And this picture really entertains me. As I was looking around, this wasn't the original verse I was going to put up. I was going to put up Joshua 1 verse 9, which was something we had in Holiday Club a few years ago. But this really entertains me. We have a two-year-old, little foster chappie at the moment. And when you tell him off, he goes like this. How often do we stand there in front of God and we go, I'm covering my eyes, and because I'm covering my eyes, you cannot see me. We cannot run from God. God is with us wherever we go, from the highest of heights to the lowest of lows. God is always there. And Psalm 139 verse 7 says it all. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Jonah was like this little boy hiding behind a tree. God could see him. God knew exactly where he was going to go. God knew exactly what he was going to do. And when we disobey, when we decide we know best, God knows exactly what we're going to do. And we're effectively hiding there with our hands over our eyes saying, you can't see me, and because you can't see, sorry, I can't see you, and because I can't see you, you can't see me. Jonah knew the mind of God. He knew exactly what God wanted him to do. Jonah did not like what God had planned. He decided he knew best and run in the opposite direction. But even in his disobedience, God still used him. This is something that I've missed. I didn't actually see this until I started preparing for this one. In the midst of the storm, Jonah tells his story to the sailors. And I'm going to read it again. Although we've read it, if you've got your Bibles open, it's Jonah 1, verses 5 through 12. But all this time, Jonah was sound asleep in the hold. So the captain went down after him. How can you sleep at a time like this? He shouted. Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will pay attention and spare our lives. Then the crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and caused the terrible storm. When they did this, the lots identified Jonah as the culprit. Why has this awful storm come down to destroy us? They demanded. Who are you? What is your line of work? What country are you from? What is your nationality? Jonah answered, I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. The sailors were terrified when they heard this, for he'd already told them that he was running away from the Lord. Oh, why did you do it? They groaned. And since the storm was getting worse all the time, they asked him, what should we do to stop this storm. Throw me into the sea, said Jonah, and it will become calm. I know the storm is my fault. Instead, the sailors rowed even harder to get the ship to land, but the stormy sea was too violent for them, and they couldn't make it. They cried out to the Lord, Jonah's God. O Lord, they proclaimed, don't make us die for this man's sin, and don't hold us responsible for his death, O Lord. You have sent this storm upon him for your very own reasons. The sailors then picked up Jonah and threw him into the raging sea, and the storm at once stopped. The sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power, and they offered him sacrifices and vowed to serve him. Jonah got the short straw. He knew why there was a storm. He knew he was running from God, and the short straw demonstrated it. He explains to these sailors exactly what's happening. He's running from God, the God who created the heaven and the earth, his God. And although the sailors try to escape, they can't, and they throw him into the sea. And then the sailors met the living God. The sailors met our God. The sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power, and they offered him sacrifices and vowed to serve him. In the midst of Jonah's disobedience, Jonah was running in the other direction. He had no intention of doing what God wanted him to do, but God still used him, even though he was running away. Those sailors would not have met our God. They would have not met Jonah's God if Jonah hadn't run away. We studied Joseph in Holiday Club a couple of weeks ago. And one of the things that we concluded at the end of the day, for those people who don't know the story of Joseph, a very quick synopsis. Joseph is one of 12 brothers. He's all but the youngest. He's not quite the youngest, but Joseph is the favourite. He gets a lovely coat of many colours. He gets boasting. He tells everybody how they're all going to bow down in front of him. He tells his brother, his fathers, that you will bow before me because God has given me these dreams. The brothers don't like it. They beat Joseph up. They shred his coat. They chuck him into a well. They're going to leave him to die. But instead, they sell him into slavery. And this journey of Joseph goes right the way through. This boy who's been thrown into a well, who's been left for dead, eventually becomes second in command in Egypt. And his brothers have to come and speak to him. They have to come and fall in front of him and bow down because there is a massive famine and Joseph controls all of the food in the area. And Joseph says to his brothers, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done. The saving of many lives. And that's from Genesis 50, verse 20. And I think it's very true here. In our disobedience, God can use that disobedience. He can turn it on its head and he can use it to his advantage. That's certainly what happened when Jonah ran away. And finally, God rescued Jonah. We've talked about the fact that Jonah knew the mind of God. We've talked about the fact that that Jonah didn't like God's plan, that he decided to run away. We've got the fact that Jonah was still used by God, and ultimately, God rescued Jonah. Despite everything, God sent a big fish. You'll notice at the very start in the story, it talks about the whale. It talks about a great fish in the Bible. But the fish wasn't there by accident. The fish didn't just happen to be swimming past at that precise moment in time and go, oh, look, lunch. God put the fish there to rescue Jonah. God didn't let Jonah drown in the sea. The fish swallowed him up. God rescued him. God does the same for us today. When we run away, when we get things wrong, God is saving us. But it's not a fish. God doesn't send a fish to swallow us up. God sent Jesus Christ, his son, to die for us. And we have the wonderful verse in John 3:16. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. God rescues us in the same way he rescued Jonah, in a more powerful way than he rescued Jonah. God takes all the rubbish in our lives and removes it through the death of Jesus. So a challenge. Jonah knew the mind of God and ran away. As I said at the very start, we too can know the mind of God. We can understand what God wants us to do for us, and we can find out what his plans are for us. All we have to do is ask. The question is perhaps not, are you willing to ask? The question is, are you willing to follow God, whatever the answer is? If you get down on your knees like Carl Beach did and said, Father God, I will follow you anywhere. I will do anything you want me to do. Are you truly willing to do that? Because you have to remember, the answer that comes back may not be the answer that you expect. God says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. And that's from Isaiah 55, verse 8. When you pray that prayer, God will answer it, but it might not be what you expect. It might not be what you want, but it will be the very best thing that God has planned for you, and God has wonderful plans for all of us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for Jonah, the first chapter. Thank you that there is so much in that chapter. Sometimes we get carried away and we just think about Jonah being swallowed by a whale and running away from God. But there are so many things that we can learn from it. And I just pray, Father God, that we can listen to your voice and we can follow what you want us to do. Give us the strength not to be scared, not to run away, but to grasp hold of it and to follow your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks very much, Matt. As we think a little bit